Election College, Episode 187, Zachary Taylor, Part 1.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Jason, there's this guy named Zachary Taylor, and I think he was on Home Improvement. He was one of the sons, Zachary Taylor Thomas or something. But there was also a guy who was the 12th president of the United States, and I think we should probably talk about him instead of the esteemed Zachary Taylor Thomas.
It's not Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell either.
No, that was a different Zach. There's a lot of Zachs we could talk about that have their roots in 90s era sitcoms, but I think Zachary Taylor would probably be a better discussion for our audience.
I'm sure along the way here we'll have some sort of nickname for him, but maybe we could call him Z.
Yeah, that's so unoriginal. Come on, yeah. Jason. You can do better than that. He has a nickname, but we'll get to that later, I guess.
Yeah.
So Zachary Taylor, this guy is born in a very young America. He's born on November 24th, 1784. And like a lot of Southern-born presidents, he's born on a plantation in Orange County, Virginia. Well, the part about the plantation being something that's synonymous to Southern presidents at this time, it is true. Not necessarily the part about Orange County, Virginia, but you knew what I was going for.
Right. I honestly thought you were going to say he was born in a van down by the river. I don't know why, but it was hardly a van down by the river because his family was quite well-to-do. And interestingly enough, he was a descendant of William Brewster. And if any of you like Thanksgiving, if you like pilgrims, you're going to know who William Brewster is or was. He was the leader of really the Plymouth Colony and came over on the Mayflower. So when somebody comes up to you and says, well, I had family who came over on the Mayflower, they're usually the same people who say, well, I'm related to Chief Sitting Bull. Just know that our buddy Zachary Taylor, he's the real deal. He was a descendant of William Brewster. And get this, his second cousin is James Madison. So he's got some presidential blood in him indirectly, but go figure. He's kind of like Ben. Ben Smith is related to Jason Goff, if you can believe that. And that makes Ben a very special dude.
You have no idea how special it makes him. Yeah, so this guy, you'll find out as we go, he's got connections all over the place. And it seems like all of the important people in this time period had connections to each other. And maybe that's not different than now. It's just hard to see it, but it gets really interesting. So Zachary Taylor, they get out of Virginia. They settle down in Kentucky near Louisville. And they start out in a small little cabin in the woods and end up moving out to a big brick house with a lot of money on their side and a lot of land, you can imagine. And of course, yep, they had some slaves. And you know, Louisville is booming at this time. This is, you know, there's a lot of expansion going west, and Taylor's father ends up buying 10,000 acres throughout Kentucky, and 10,000 acres in Kentucky, especially near Louisville, is going to really boost your pocketbook, I guess you could say. They had 26 slaves, and, you know, like many Southern families at the time, they used their slaves freely to do the work around the property and around the plantation there, I guess you could say, in some sense. Probably wasn't actually a plantation, but a lot of Southern land always kind of rings as a plantation to me in my head.
Yeah, lots of things going on in your head there, Ben.
Yeah, that's true.
In this case, you're absolutely correct. So young Zachary, he does go off and on to school, but keep in mind, early 1800s, you're in Kentucky. No Kentucky jokes, please. It gets quite tiresome. But there are not a whole lot of schools in Kentucky at the time. So he doesn't really receive a formal education like many of us would think of. So his teachers were like, yeah, Zach, he's a pretty quick wit. He learns stuff pretty fast, but his handwriting is atrocious and he can't spell very well. So that's probably not going to be his forte in life.
He probably won't go on to do much.
Right. So probably more of a Jeopardy guy, except on the last round, than a Wheel of Fortune guy. Just saying.
Whenever I feel bad about my handwriting, I just think about those brilliant people on Jeopardy who you can't read their answers a lot of times whenever they write the... I haven't watched Jeopardy in 15 years. Who am I kidding? It could be way better by now.
But oh, you anyway. Just took away all your credibility just now.
Oh, well. It's true. It's true. I probably did. So he's a military guy. He grows up a little bit. It's funny to say the president grows up, isn't it? In 1808, he ends up joining the U.S. Army, and he becomes a first lieutenant of the 7th Infantry Regiment. And this is, you know, part of a new commission that the U.S. Congress has established. And there is an American frigate that the British hop on board. You know, we're in 1808 here, what we're talking about. So not too far off from all the issues and everything that start the War of 1812. And he's part of that. He's part of that initial batch of guys that were brought on to, hey, maybe we should have a backup plan here in case things go the way of war.
Hey, get this. While he was involved in New Orleans and all the stuff that was going on there with the British, he was actually under the command of our buddy James Wilkinson. So yeah. You can imagine what that would have been like. And one thing, as we move further along in Zachary Taylor's life, he's known as being a guy with a lot of integrity. So it's pretty interesting that you've got him under Wilkinson's command, because let's just face it, Wilkinson, not a man of high integrity. And you need to go back and listen to that episode that we recorded about him. I don't know the number, but it's somewhere in the last like 5 months. Anyway, so you're going to get sick working under Wilkinson. Just know that. And Taylor, he falls ill and he gets an extended leave from his military service. He goes back up the Mississippi over to the Ohio River, back home to Louisville. And wouldn't you know it, he gets better. He's promoted to the rank of captain in 1810 and he attends to some business. He purchases slaves, which this is kind of interesting, Ben, because again, as we move further through his life, slavery is a part of his life, but some of his desires politically seem to want to do away with slavery, but we'll discuss that contradiction perhaps later. So he gets some bank stock there in Louisville. He purchases a plantation for $95,000, and that has 83 more slaves. So, yeah, he's amassing all of this wealth, and he is praised by our buddy, William Henry Harrison, because of the way he took control of the Indiana Territory and did some awesome things for the good old United States of America.
Jason, you mentioned that he went back home to Louisville and attended to some business while he was sick there. Well, one of those things he attended to was getting married. He marries Margaret Mackle Smith in June of 1810, which is convenient. It's kind of weird. I'm not saying he faked his illness or anything, but like he gets sick. He met a pretty girl. He gets sick. They send him back home to Louisville. He happens to get married to a girl he had met before during that time, and then he goes back out on duty. Hey, I'm not trying to start a controversy here, but sounds like maybe he was trying to, you know, get married or something. Anyway, yeah. He had met her the previous year in Louisville, and she comes from a prominent family as well. It would be you know, it wouldn't be becoming of the man to marry a woman who was not, or I'm sorry, becoming of the woman to not marry a man who was also of higher stock at that time. So she's the daughter of Major Walter Smith, and he actually served in the Revolutionary War. We don't know a whole lot more about Zachary Taylor's wife. I looked up Margaret Macclesmith at one point, and there's information about her, but not information as it pertains to being the wife of a president, which is interesting. So anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about their kids. I guess we could, with Taylor, there's a lot of jumping around in his life because there's all of these connections that he has, okay? Mm-hmm. So we got the Monroe connection, right? We've got the connection with James Wilkinson. And by the way, when he returns to Louisville during this bit of time there, 1810, 1811, he actually, in that span of time, goes to D.C. to testify for Wilkinson as a witness, because Wilkinson was involved in a court martial trial.
Or two. Yeah.
Yeah. And he gets out of serving in the Battle of Tippecanoe. So he's praised by William Henry Harrison, but he doesn't necessarily have to fight with William Henry Harrison because of the dealings he had with Wilkinson. He's related to Monroe. And then you look at his kids. Well, you got Anne, who was born, Ann Taylor, not the fashion designer. Is that who Ann Taylor is?
I have no idea.
I think so. It just sounds familiar. I might be wrong. Maybe a store. I think it's a store. Anyway, so his daughter Ann, I'm sure that's not the same Ann Taylor. She marries Robert C. Wood, and he is an army surgeon for the U.S. and good old U.S. of A. But then his son, Dick, which I guess Richard Scott, I'm just going to call him Dick, though. He was a Confederate Army general. Get that. And then, I don't know, Ben, tell us about some of the other relations that his children had.
Well, one of his children died fairly young. Actually, a couple of his children died fairly young from different fevers and everything that were popular at the time. His daughter Mary, married William Wallace Smith Bliss. And William Wallace Smith Bliss, was actually the private secretary to the president at one point. And, you know, so there we go again, marrying with blood that is also kind of a little more prestigious. And then Sarah Knox, Knoxie Taylor, marries Jefferson Davis in 1835. And you may have heard the name Jefferson Davis before. That's right. That's the president of the Confederacy when we get a Confederacy here. She marries him in 1835, which is obviously before that happens. And her father is actually how she meets him. And they meet at the end of the Black Hawk War. And she ends up passing away shortly after. But it's interesting because Taylor didn't want Sarah to marry Jefferson Davis. And I don't know that it was because he thought he was a bad guy or anything. I imagine they were friendly with each other. But it was because he knew how hard it was on his wife that he was always gone, and how hard it was to be a dad whenever he was away with the military, and he just didn't want that for his daughter. So, but yeah, like Jason said, lots of connections. Seems like everybody's kind of related to everybody. We got a whole mix of Madison and William Henry Harrison and Jefferson Davis, and, you know, basically, if you're a popular person at the time, you're probably related to Zachary Taylor.
Yeah. So just to touch a little bit on the War of 1812, because, well, we can't emphasize it enough how important the War of 1812 was, and it's not taught enough in school. And yeah, way back when we did a series on the War of 1812, go check it out. But our buddy Zach, he successfully defended Fort Harrison there in the Indiana Territory. They were under attack from Tecumseh and his peeps, and he defends it. So, woohoo. Taylor leads a 430-man expedition from St. Louis up to the Battle of Credit Island, where Taylor again defeats the Native Americans and does a lot to stave off the British on that Western Front. So, Zachary Taylor, War of 1812, he is one who saw some success. if you're an American.
Yeah, so there's a couple wars that Zachary Taylor is involved in. I don't want to go too far into them, but it's really interesting that, you know, all of these individuals at this time, it's interesting how expansion and being a new country and things like that often leads into having conflicts. So you have the Black Hawk War, you have the Second Seminole War, and then you have the Mexican-American War. And we've touched upon the Mexican-American War multiple different times and in different ways. And of course, I still think at some point we're probably going to have a couple episodes specifically devoted to it, even though it's not election history. It keeps coming up, so it must be election history.
Yep.
Taylor gets sent out to Fort Jessup in 1844. And, you know, they're anticipating that they're going to annex the Republic of Texas. They're pretty much saying in 1836, hey, we are going to be independent. Mexico doesn't like this because, hey, Texas is ours. And he gets sent out there to basically, hey, if Mexico comes back and tries to take Texas, you're here to make sure that does not happen.
So basically, with the Mexican-American War, you have the Mexicans, and then you have these English-speaking people. And the reason I say English-speaking people, because what? We've got a bunch of Americans who become loyal to Texas, but then Texas wants to become part of America. Confusing situation. I think it's really cool, though. Texas history. It's pretty wild stuff. But anyway, Taylor just rocks the world. If you are for Texas being a part of the United States, well, you are going to think Zachary Taylor, what a guy. So he commands American forces at the Battle of Palo Alto, and he was outnumbered, but he still defeats the Mexican forces, and the Mexican troops are forced back across the Rio Grande. And the national press is like, you are awesome, Zachary Taylor. You are just like our buddy George Washington. You are similar to Andy Jack in that you are an awesome leader. And yeah, you need to be president someday.
Yeah, and Zachary Taylor's like, you know what? Such an idea never entered my head, nor is it likely to enter the head of any sane person. Being president doesn't really seem like it was all that appealing to him at the time. And, you know, you can kind of understand that. But, hey, maybe we'll talk about that here in a minute.
We might.
So Taylor is a hero of the Mexican-American War, and that kind of paves the way for him to get into politics. He's been a military man up to this point, and at the time, that's kind of synonymous with being a politician. At some point in your life, at least. So we will discuss Zachary Taylor's foray into politics in the next episode.
Yeah. And hey, I'm going to reorder things just a little bit, Ben, because we got a review from a friend this past week from James Early. He has an awesome, awesome Facebook group, American History Fanatics. He left us a review, said this podcast presents a lighthearted look at all of our presidential elections, as well as the lives of key figures. Hey, just like our buddy Zachary Taylor, in American history and significant events. It's both fun and informative at the same time. Everyone who wants to learn or brush up on U.S. history should listen. Wow, that's awesome. Thank you so much. We're quite honored to have the good professor leave us a review. And we also got a review from Rufus in New York, who said this podcast should be required listening for everyone who votes. You know what they say about history repeating itself. Well, let's make it stop. Well done. Serious and funny. Thank you. We're going to learn how history does seem to repeat itself in the next episode. But if you wouldn't mind, and even if you would mind just a little bit, but you want to help a couple of cousins out, please do head over to iTunes and leave the podcast a rating and review, because it does help and it gets our hearts beating just a little fast, and it gets our feet tapping, and it just makes us very happy.
We haven't been as good about reading all of the reviews that come in when they come in, but just so you know, we do appreciate them and we'll try to be better about that. We want to interact with you. of course, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere that we are. We would love to have a conversation with you. So if you see us in public and want to you know, flag us down, sure, that's kind of creepier, but go for it. please do that over. You can find us on any of the social channels at Election College and shoot us a message. We are very responsive.
Yeah, kind of like a website. Anyway, I just geeked out there.
Nerd humor, yeah.
Anyway, we look forward to talking to you in just a couple of days about the second half of Zachary Taylor's life.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.